Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? May be curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast.
So, hello everybody, welcome to another China Business Cast. Mike, it's been long.
I know, I'm missing you, Shlomo. It's great to get you on.
We haven't had an episode for about a month or so, and I guess this is mostly due to my fault. I was traveling. If you're following, in the last 2.5 months in Thailand, I was working, but specifically in the last few weeks, been traveling extensively, so this became harder and harder to do. So great being back, and we're back on track.
Back on track, ready to rock.
Definitely.
So, we have some big news. I'm excited to announce. We have a Patreon page. Do you want to explain what that is?
Sure. Yeah. Patreon is a cool company. They're helping content creators like us. So that would be podcasters, but it's also filmmakers, music writers, you name it, all these kind of creators, building a community around what they do and supporting them. And we just launched our new page where you can support us, but you also get really, really nice rewards that we made up for you. So you can check that out. That would be on chinabusinesscast.com/support. And we will read a few of those. We got about 7 or 8 of those rewards for you guys. Mike, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, sure.
Start with one.
So, you know, for me, I'm excited to just name the easiest. The easiest one is Forever Grateful. And the picture is pretty amazing, but it's hard. I think it's best you guys check out the page and let us know what you think of our unique designs. But it says
Mike did really good work on the graphics.
Yeah, we try.
We did really good job on the graphics.
We try, you know. hopefully you guys like it and it convinces you to just give even Forever Grateful. It's just $1 and we really appreciate it. And it will go towards creating this show and keeping us on track and everything. Cause Shlomo and I really appreciate all of your feedback and every dollar would count. So thank you for that in advance.
Awesome. We got another one. This is called the Chinaman and I'm going to read it. And this one, you are a Chinaman or a woman and we like that. And we're adding you right away to a special thank you page with other Chinaman and women. Now, all these goals, we got some other cool stuff. We will do, you can join our editing team. You can be interviewed on the show. And we're even going to fly in to wherever you are in the world to have an interview with you. If you'd like that, that's one of the options as well. And these are all attached to goals that you can see on the page as well. So we got good stuff coming up. So these would be having more shows every month. These would be having conferences. So check out the page, chinabusinesscast.com/support and see how you can support us and build up the community. We're very, very excited about this.
Yeah. And speaking of support, another great way to support the show is totally free, which is giving us a review. We have a couple reviews to read off today. I know Shlomo and I are always so excited to check reviews, right? So we have a couple here.
We got more and more of those.
Yeah, so it's helpful for sure. It just gets the word out about the show and makes us feel warm and tingly inside. So I'll start with one. Shlomo, then you go.
Go for it.
All right. This one is Very Good Insights, 5 stars by Marcus in Germany on February in 2017. He says, very good insights into the Chinese entrepreneur scene. Guests talk about problems and successes doing business here in China. While listening to more casts, you also get a good idea about the changing business environment in China from the beginning of the millennium until today. Very motivating while taking a close look of problems that might occur. Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you, Marcus. Marcus became one of our members at the China Business Cast WeChat group, and we'll tell you in a minute how you can join as well. We got another one, and this one is from AZNWill7890. And he says, must listen if you want to do business in China. 5 stars. If you want to learn how the China business ecosystem works, this is a must listen to podcast. Thank you very much for that, AZNWill. We really, really appreciate it. So, guys, keep these reviews coming. And we got another shout out. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so we have another WeChat friend that added us, Lily, and she's down in Australia. So she was really enjoying one. She liked the Ringy show, the Ringy interview with Swan, and she wants more shows about WeChat. So we're listening, Lily, and thanks everybody for giving us your feedback.
Awesome.
Cool. And a quick announcement. It's getting less than a month now to the Cross-Border Summit. So it's an event I'm organizing down here in Shenzhen, China, April 21st and 22nd at crossbordersummit.com. It'd be great to see if some of you guys here and let me know. We can do a shout out on audio at the show right there. I'll get you and give you a shout out. Also,
Mike, last year I said that I'm going to be there. I was trying to go. I was trying to arrive to the summit and I couldn't. And we said that next year might work for going to the cross-border summit, but I guess that's not going to work as well. So at some point, okay. I'm going to get there.
It's okay. I'm already thinking about 2018, so don't worry about it. We'll have more for sure.
Have more. I'm going to be there eventually.
Great. And then the WeChat group, do you want to remind everybody about that?
Yeah, sure. So we got a nice WeChat group and it's growing. You can join in by adding either me or Mike to your WeChat, and then we will add you to the group. You just need to request that. So my ID on WeChat is Shlomo F. That's S-H-L-O-M-O-F. And Mike is Mike's last name, which is long and hard to spell. So go ahead, Mike.
I'll help you out. M is in Michael, I-C-H-E-L-I-N-I. Michelini, it's Italian.
Awesome. Yeah, join our WeChat group. Join our WeChat group.
Okay, and now for the show, we have a great one. Shlomo helped reach out to Josh. Josh Steimley. He's new to Shenzhen, but he's been out here in Asia through Hong Kong for years. He's built up a very successful agency. He's really doing a lot of things. So he's going to be on the show. I interview him talking about the differences he's noticed between influencers or KOLs between the West and the East.
Right. I know Josh from another group called Influencers Inc. That's his group. And this group is super, super helpful. We're going to add this the show notes. So if you want to become an influencer in your sector or field, that's the right place for you guys.
Okay. Yeah, he's great. So let's dive in.
Awesome.
Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to another China Business Cast. We are here at H&H Gourmet Bagels, a great place for bagels in Shenzhen, if you want to come by. And we have with us Josh Steimley. Thanks for being here, Josh.
Thanks, Mike. Happy to be here. This is fun.
Yeah, we've been meaning to get you on, and it's great. It's great. You have a lot to share, and I'm glad to have you here for our listeners. So there's so many ways to introduce you. We met back in Hong Kong when you had just moved here a few years ago. To Asia, and you're CEO and founder of MWI, which is a global marketing agency based in Utah, where you're originally from, but you've expanded to Hong Kong and China, and you help brands improve their brand and do PR marketing, internet marketing. And you have a book, and you've done a China Marketing Summit pre-event, and you're working very hard on a great one coming up in the summer, in July. So do you want to expand on how I introduce you?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm just thinking how much has changed since we first met that time. That was at, that was in Hong Kong. It was at, I remember the event that we met at, and it was, what's that place called? This co-work
Good
space.
Lab.
Good Lab. Yeah, we met at Good Lab at that event. That was Paul Orlando's farewell
event.
He was leaving, you were coming. Yeah, he was leaving Hong Kong, I was coming. And yeah, everything's changed since then. That's right when I started writing for Forbes. My partner, Corey Blake, who's now my full partner in the company, hadn't even come on as my partner yet. And that changed everything in the company as well.
Wow.
And basically when we first met, it was just me working by myself. I was like the only full-time employee in the company, and I had a bunch of contractors working for me. And since we met, now we're like 20, 25 people. We've got offices in the U.S. We've got offices in Hong Kong. We're opening an office here in Shenzhen. We're looking at Singapore.
Very cool.
Man, yeah, a lot has happened during that time.
Yeah. And I'm a member of your Facebook group, which is pretty hot. Influencer Inc. is is branded after your book, and you've got that out there, and things are really exciting for you. I'm also excited to be witnessing it, like you said.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun, and also it's fun also now that I'm here in Shenzhen, because I think I visited you on like my first ever trip to Shenzhen or something came here. Because I remember you were helping me with my SIM card and trying to figure out how I could get data while I was here and everything. And we met over by SeaWorld here in Shenzhen, which is not an animal theme park, by the way. It's just a mall area. But yeah, we met there. And then it's funny here now that I'm living here right next to SeaWorld. And I go around and I think, man, when I came here and I was meeting Mike, like, none of these buildings were here.
It's
like everything
crazy,
has changed.
Right?
All this new stuff's there. There's an IMAX theater. There's all this new stuff that was under construction at the time. And now I'm here in Shenzhen, and it's just like, wow, this place has come so far so fast.
It's crazy. I think it was you, or I saw it on social media, but I think there's been more skyscrapers built here than... Do you know this stat?
Yeah, it's so in 2016, more skyscrapers were built in Shenzhen than all the U.S. and Australia combined.
Crazy. Yeah, the city is totally on fire, and I'm glad to have you over here. So today I wanted to theme around influencer marketing, the differences between East and West, which is pretty exciting. I've seen in your Facebook group too, people asking this question. But maybe before we dive into the differences, maybe first, what is an influencer, or how do you define that?
Yeah, so a lot of people, when they hear about influencer marketing, they're thinking about like these crazy kids on YouTube doing all this funny stuff and crazy stuff and jokes and gags and all that stuff. And I mean, those are influencers for sure. But really, an influencer is anybody who influences anybody else. Anybody who is followed automatically becomes an influencer. So in a way, we're all influencers to one degree or another, right? But typically, when we're talking about influencer in a business sense, we're talking about somebody who has a large enough following that they can make money off of it. And so you do have these consumer-oriented influencers on Instagram and YouTube, and so they're popular enough, they've built up enough of a following on these channels that companies and brands go to them and say, hey, will you take a photo for your Instagram profile with my product, and we'll pay you $200 or $100 or $50,000 if you're Rihanna or something like that, because it's kind of that whole Oprah thing. You know, everybody used to try to get their book on Oprah's book club because they knew that, hey, if she talks about my book's an instant bestseller and I'm going to be famous. And so Oprah was one of these original influencers because she had a TV show. But now you've got all these people who have become influencers in their own right on social media, and companies are paying big bucks to some of these top influencers to get their attention. What's more interesting to me is the rise of the B2B influencer. So it's the influencer who creates a following, creates an audience, or go finds an audience. In a business context, they utilize that audience to grow their own business or to drive business to their employer or something. So you think of a company like just randomly choose IBM or something. IBM selling business services, business consulting services. And so there might be somebody in IBM who is famous for a certain technology or the knowledge they have in a certain field. And so they go around and they speak at events, they write articles, they create videos showing their expertise and their knowledge and answering questions. And so they become an influencer within that space. And then they help IBM sell more business consulting services. So that's kind of for a lot of people, that's the more boring side of influencer marketing. But for me, that's more interesting because I'm more interested in that B2B side than the consumer side.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and I think it usually B2B, you don't need a million fans. Just like, you know, B2C, you usually need a lot more people. At B2B, you can have a smaller audience with more effect, I think.
Yeah, I have a friend who, he is an industrial engineer efficiency type guy. I don't even know what he does. It's so niche what he does. But basically, he goes into factories and helps them save money by going green and becoming more efficient and lean with their manufacturing. So he's looking at air vents and how they have things wired in factories, just all this interesting but very niche stuff that only a few people care about. But he went on LinkedIn and he created a post on LinkedIn talking about some obscure part of his business. And he came back to me and said, "Hey, I wrote this post and I got 200 people to read it. And it was incredible." Well, in the consumer world, if you got 200 people to read something, that's nothing, right? Mm-hmm, because people are putting videos out there and they're getting 50,000, 100,000, 5 million, 20 million views. And you say, well, this guy only got 200 reads of his article. But for him, that's huge because he might get 3 or 4 new clients out of that.
Definitely.
Each paying him $5,000 or $10,000 a month. That's big business for him to be able to do that. So small audiences can mean big bucks on an individual basis for people in some really niche areas.
Yeah, it's totally exciting. And I think listeners could definitely tap into that. I know there's business owners, you know, doing cross-border, you know, if it's in Australia or US to China, things like that. So you can really go focus down to a niche and not be discouraged when, I know a lot of people watch how many likes they have or how many views they have and all these things. And sometimes, sometimes that's helpful, but a lot of times that can be vanity as well. It's more about the result you get from it, like leads or sales.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of people get stuck on these numbers because Twitter puts those numbers right in your face. Facebook puts those numbers right in your face. And talking about one of the differences between China and the US, one thing I love about WeChat is those numbers are not in your face. In fact, I don't even know where to... Yeah, I have no idea how many WeChat followers I have. I'm sure it's there somewhere, but I just don't care because I have high engagement on WeChat and I've made great connections and that's what I really care about anyway. So I don't track the numbers. I don't look at the numbers. What I'm looking at is how many people are reaching out to me. Exactly. What kind of conversations am I having? What am I getting out of this in terms of real business? That's what I really care about anyway.
Yeah, totally, totally. And I think for the definition side, I think normally in China, an influencer is a KOL, key opinion leader, right?
Yeah, so we use a different term over here in China, right? These KOLs, the key opinion leader. And so it's just a different term for the same thing.
Definitely. So would you say that the track or the way to become an influencer, of course, China is all about WeChat, right? I think that's basically the main platform here. But what would you say to somebody that wants to become an influencer? What would the track be?
Well, this is all marketing, and marketing is really simple. It's two things. It's content and it's channel. So you have to have content. You have to have something to say, something to share, something to put out there. And then you have to have a way of delivering that content. So here in China, of course, the channels are different than in the US. I like to make an analogy to it's kind of like, it's like me. So I grew up in Arcadia, California. And when I was growing up, when I was a little kid, Arcadia was a very milky white place to live, let's just say. Everybody was Caucasian. There was very little diversity. It was kind of like that TV show, The Wonder Years, if you've ever seen that. Like, that's where I grew up. And then I remember when I was in third grade, the first girl from Taiwan moved in. And we all thought she was so exotic and, like, incredible. It was like, wow, she speaks another language. How cool. And she was just different. And then about 10 years later, when I was graduating from high school, I was the minority because my high school was 60% Asian by that point. It just, everything changed really quickly. And so when I was growing up, all the stores where I live were in English. And then as I started getting older, they started putting Chinese under the English on the signs. Then the Chinese moved above the English on the signs. And now when I go home, they're just all Chinese and there's no English left. So it's like I recognize all the stores and I recognize all the places, but all the names have changed and things are different. And that's kind of how social media is coming to China. You look at WeChat, you look at Weibo, and you say, I kind of recognize this. Like, this makes sense to me, but I don't know these names. Everything's different at the same time. So instead of Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all that, we've got Weibo, we've got WeChat. And so those channels are different, but still the content is the same game. People are putting out information, they're answering questions, they're putting out content that people care about, and that's how they're building followers. And that does not change. That's the same as it's been for 10, 20,000 years since the cavemen were doing marketing. You put out content that people care about. I mean, what were the cavemen doing? They were drawing pictures of, you know, here's where to find the food.
Yep.
Here's what to watch out for. You know, here's where you can find water, whatever. They were putting out content out there that people cared about. And it's the same thing today. You know, where's the food? Where do I get drinks? Where, you know, where are the things that I need for my life? I mean, we're putting the same type of content out there. It's just the channel and the form of that content that's changed over time.
Very cool. Very cool. And caveman marketing, maybe that could be a next episode we do.
Right.
And so, you know, I think I've seen conversations. And a lot of times in China, everything's more of a trend. You spoke at you're speaking a lot here, but there was one event where you're speaking about people pitching you to be in, like, in your publications. And it seems like in China, a lot of it's very transactional based, mm-hmm. like pay X for Y, if even in media, where I think in the West, that's discouraged, or, you know, of course you can even be not allowed to even do that, but it seems like a lot in here. Have you been noticing that as in your time in China, like this transaction model based? Like, it seems like even in the West now, KOL or influencer marketing is accepted. Like, hey, I drink. Or they have to disclose, hey, I drink Pepsi, and then Britney Spears has a Pepsi. She doesn't say that she was paid, but obviously she was paid by Pepsi to put the Pepsi bottle on her poster or in her maybe Instagram, but.
Yeah, well, in the U.S. now, it's the law that if you're a blogger and you do a product review or something, you have to state that you got paid for that, or that you got that product for free, which I think is crazy, but that's a political discussion we won't get into here. But yeah, so you have to do certain disclosures there. And I think the impression I get, and again, I've only been living here in China for 6 months now, so I'm not an expert quite on Chinese society yet and all the different marketing details, but the impression I get is that China is moving in the direction of the U.S. and U.S. is moving in the direction of China when it comes to influencer marketing, in the sense that I think in the U.S. it's becoming much more transactional as well, that people are going on Instagram and saying, okay, I want a price list of all the influencers mm-hmm, and what mm-hmm. I get. You know, how many followers do they have? What's the reach? What's the engagement? And so marketing is becoming more of something that you pull off a shelf, or it's like a vending machine where you go and you put some money in and you get this result out of it. And there's less of that investing for the long term, perhaps. And it's because the ability is there to make it transactional. That ability didn't exist 30 years ago, because 30 years ago, if there were influencers, it was professional athletes, it was people on TV, and you couldn't track the exact results of what you were doing. So you would go and say, hey, we're going to endorse this athlete, and then you try to look for some sort of bump in sales so that you can say that this is working. But if you're Nike and you're endorsing 200 athletes, and I mean, if you bring on a Kobe Bryant, yeah, you're going to see a bump in sales, mm-hmm. right? You know that it's working. But if you bring on a lot of these lower level guys, or you sponsor a team or something, how do you know if that's really working? There's no way to really get attribution for that. Whereas today, you can go get an Instagram post and you can track the traffic from that Instagram post, and then you can track it in some cases down to the penny. If you're doing e-commerce, you can track this down to the penny, and you can say, hey, we spent $500 with this Instagram influencer and we got a return of $5,032.14 in profit. I mean, when you contract to the penny like that, of course you're going to become more transactional because you have the ability to. But also, I think there is a bit of a cultural thing too, whereas in the US we've been uncomfortable with PR and in terms of making it transactional. Whereas I think here in Asia that's been more of the norm, especially in some countries. I know South Korea, it's like standard. You go pay the journalist, at least from what I understand, it's pretty standard that you pay journalists to write stories about you. Whereas in the U.S., that is definitely frowned upon.
Definitely. I know it. Sometimes I get some critical Chinese comments when I say about the transaction in China, because they say it's more direct here, but it happens in the West. They just don't talk about it, like political stuff, you know, like political things and some of these more money for service kind of transactions. So a lot of times I'll get critics that say, well, it happens in the West. You just don't, it's just under the table. It's just not talked about. Whereas in China, at least it's more like known and that's the way it is. And that's some sides I've heard, you know, in this.
I think transactional also is kind of a synonym for short term versus the long term. And I think that is one difference that I see here in China is that, I mean, this definitely exists in the US too, but I think more here you see that people want results really quickly and they want it to be obvious. So they say, they look at PR and they say, I want to be able to get a placement. I want this right now and I want instant results and it better be awesome. Whereas in the US, most companies that you go to with PR, they're going to say, hey, we understand this is a long game, that we have to make an investment and that 1 out of 10 placements is going to go big and the other 9 are just going to kind of build our brand and do smaller things. And so they just get that long game a little bit more than perhaps the average Chinese business here. But again, I think that's just a matter of time. And I think China's catching up and I think China's moving in the right direction and people are understanding more and more long-term marketing. They have to, right? Because you get an advantage from long-term marketing that you don't get from the short-term. And so everybody jumps on the short-term first because that's the low-hanging fruit. But then as it becomes competitive, it becomes less effective. And so people look for places to put their money that is more effective. And so they will gravitate towards long-term over the long-term. And so ultimately, they will move in that direction. And I think it's happening really quickly here.
One thing for sure is things do happen fast here. And a lot of times people... I've been here, they underestimate how fast China has been adapting to these kind of more maybe international ways of doing business. So they are learning faster than I think a lot of people expect.
Yeah, to that point, there are these websites like English and stuff where you can go and you can look at Asian signs in English and you laugh at the translations. You don't see that much anymore, though, here in China. I mean, like, I'm looking for this stuff because I want to take photos of it, and I can't find funny stuff anymore in Shenzhen. And I heard that now when there's a large public event like the Olympics or something big happening, that the government actually sends translators out to find all this stuff and make sure it gets translated correctly so that that crazy stuff isn't out there. But It is interesting. I mean, around here in Shenzhen, I'm always on the lookout for humorous things. And I have to say, I'm kind of disappointed to not see more really bad translations. When I've gone outside the big city and I go into more rural areas, then I'll see more of that stuff. But in the big cities, they've kind of got that translation stuff.
I think they're tired of seeing all of our Instagram photos on the internet, you know, English.com. So monetization, we've kind of talked about it, I guess, as a the whole transaction debate or discussion. Would you think influencers make money the same similar ways, mostly on a post basis or creating content for the brand?
Well, with the consumer oriented influencers, it is more that transactional type thing. Hey, post this on WeChat or on Weibo or Instagram or Twitter, and I will pay you this much money for one post. That's more the consumer side of it. With the B2B influencer side of things, it's more of a long game, and it is more, it's more like PR or content marketing. And so it's more something, for example, I've been talking with a guy who is a Huawei KOL. So Huawei is a huge technology company here in China. They've got 175,000 employees. They're a competitor with Cisco, but they're also a competitor with Apple and everything. They made the Google phone last year, the Nexus 6P. And so Huawei's a big company, but they're not really well known outside of China. And so they've hired KOLs outside of China to represent their brand and use their products and talk about their products in a public way. And so some of that is focused on the long term. But when it comes to the business side of things, I think you see more of this investment where companies are saying, hey, let's go find somebody who can be a spokesperson for our products and not just do a single post, but let's find somebody who is a writer and maybe has access to publications. And so they'll be a KOL for us and they'll represent our product, or they make videos and they will represent our product on an ongoing basis. and maybe somebody who does public speaking, they go speak at events, they can represent that brand or that company. And a lot of the KOLs you see in the business sense work for the company that they represent full time. So Huawei might have somebody who is an expert on a certain subject, and this person's job is essentially to go around and speak at conferences, to make videos, to write articles, and be that expert on that topic. And then everybody knows, oh, they're an expert on this and they work at Huawei. And then it lends credibility and builds the brand for Huawei and ultimately brings them business.
Very, very cool. I was going to say, I'm wondering if you know Peter Shankman. I think
not personally, but yeah, I know.
I've met him a few times. I think he is one of their KOLs.
For Huawei?
I'm thinking, because he posts, I follow him. I've met him in a couple conferences. He's a very cool guy, but I wonder, maybe we can ask him later.
Yeah, I'd love to be a KOL for them because I love this phone. I actually have the Nexus 6P and I love the phone, except that the battery only lasts about an hour and a half now. Oh. So I always have to plug it into a thing. So I wish I was a KOL and they would give me a new phone every month. So.
Yeah, that's another perk, right? You get free stuff all the time. But, you know, I think the drawbacks, I guess you're public facing. Is there any like negatives of being a KOL, you think?
To being a KOL, well, the negative is that you actually have to do some work. But I mean, that's just the negative of needing to have a job in life generally, right? But the negative or the risk for the company, and this is a risk that a lot of companies consider very seriously, and it's probably the major thing that keeps them from using KOLs or influencers, is they're afraid what these influencers are going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're using influencers, the content doesn't go through all the same processes that other corporate content might go through. So if you hire somebody and you say, hey, we want you to be an influencer and go out there and speak and represent us and do all these things, then they're not necessarily going to say exactly what you want all the time, because not everything is getting vetted through six committees. It's not going through the legal department. It's more like, hey, we're hiring this person and based on who they are and what we've seen them do in the past and what we hope they're going to do in the future. But that person might go out and say some things that aren't good for your brand, and then all of a sudden you've got a PR issue that you have to deal with, or maybe they're just not positive enough, or they might just not spin things the way that you want them spun about your company. And so that is the risk of using KOLs and influencers, is they don't always stay on script.
Mm-hmm. I can think of some, I don't know why, it just sticks in my mind, just like the World Wrestling Federation. Uh-huh. For some reason it stuck in my mind, and one of the wrestlers is obviously there were some not very educated guys, and one guy, like, I think he was like a comeback kid, or he like won the fight, and then he grabbed the microphone and he says, I don't like this Bud Light pays, I don't know, maybe it's not Bud Light, but he's like, Bud Light pays me, but I don't drink that crap. I drink, and he's like, took a different bottle of beer and he's like chugging it on the wrestling pad or whatever. And I'm like, that guy probably got in trouble for that because he was sponsored by a beer company. But it's true. You can't really control these influencers or KOLs.
And that's the hard part, is the best KOLs are the authentic ones, the ones that do say what they really feel, like this wrestler guy. I mean, that was great for the other beer company, not the one paying him, but for the other one, right? And everybody knows in that moment, wow, this guy is basically just firing himself.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You know that he believes what he's saying, right? Because he's really putting his money where his mouth is. So the best influencers are really authentic. But when influencers are authentic, they're going to say what they believe, and that might not always match up with your marketing message.
It's true. Very cool. Thanks so much for your time today, Josh. Maybe talk some more about what you're working on. I know you're really working hard on the China Marketing Summit, and you know, we were at that beta event. I got some video blog on there with 600 people here in Shenzhen, and one's coming up, and the main one's coming up in July. Do you want to give us some highlights?
Yeah, so July 14th, 15th here in Shenzhen, we're going to have the China Marketing Summit. It's going to be the largest marketing conference in China. We are hoping to get over 8,000 people out and over 100 speakers. We've already got a bunch of great international speakers coming in,
awesome.
Speakers from Europe, from the US. We've got top chief marketing officers coming in. We've got marketing KOLs or influencers coming in. We've got executives from within China who are coming to speak. We're going to have an Amazon third-party seller track just dedicated to third-party sellers who are interested in getting the latest marketing tips. And we're hoping to bring some people from Amazon down for that, to speak to that and work with that dedicated track that we'll have for that. So that is super exciting, the way that that's shaping up. And hope to see anybody who's interested in marketing in China there. And by the way, this conference is, it's for companies outside of China that want to come into China. It's for companies in China that are trying to break out and go into Western markets. And it's also for companies that are just doing business domestically within China. So anybody who has any interest in China and marketing, there's something at this conference for you.
Awesome. Very cool. Thanks. Thanks, Josh. And then, of course, that's ChinaMarketingSummit.com. And then your firm is MWI.com. Great short domain name. So that's how people can find you. Or are there other ways?
Also, JoshSteimle.com is my personal website. And I've got a email course that you can sign up for there. If you're interested in becoming an influencer, then I've got a free course there that you can sign up for, and it walks you through how to get started.
Very cool. Very cool. Thanks so much, Josh. And I'm sure people enjoyed.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Like the China Business Cast and want to get involved? We have special offers for supporters of the show, starting from just $1 and up. We have something for everyone. Check out all the different ways to engage at www.chinabusinesscast.com/support. That's www.chinabusinesscast.com/support. Thanks.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry, China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.